looks that drives the girls wild. I've got the moves that really move them. I said chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy.
45 minutes away.
I'm not your boy.
From the top of the hour here on Tide 99.1 Wrestler Theme Wednesday. Oh. But now, a new tradition here on the old program. That means the assistant sports director at WVUA Television, BJ Milliken, joining us here on Tide 99.1, his own intro music. Forget Shawn Michaels. He is history.
I love it.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah.
Right last week, I guess.
You didn't mess it up. You know,
That's good.
I did morning radio for about a year and a half or so, mm-hmm. I guess, with Tony Giles, legendary PA guy now at Bryant-Denny Stadium, but was legendary radio guy.
Really?
It was on a news station that nobody listened to. even though I have to say, myself notwithstanding, we had a pretty good lineup. Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready. The
anchor for the morning news deal on radio, good grief, close to 20 years ago now, 15 at least, more than 15. Tony Giles, driving the ship, okay?
Right.
I was the sports guy. I was the sports guy after two names you don't remember. One, okay. One of them you might, Ron Grillo.
It's vague.
A guy interned under at Channel 6, and then Greg Screws.
Now I remember Greg Screws.
Yeah, now it's... TV media legend in Huntsville, Alabama. So I became the sports guy when they moved on. But our news anchor, okay, because we had a news department, right. Tim Lennox, who was an award-winning journalist and worked in Montgomery for a while after Birmingham. Alan Collins was our reporter.
Oh, how about that, Mr. Oh, what's his? He's got the fedora. Mr.
Fedora. The hat guy now on Fox. It could be 12 degrees or 95, and he's going to have on the fedora. But yeah,
you got a trademark. You got to have it, just like me with Shawn Michaels' intro music.
Exactly. Now. But my whole setup with that is to tell you that when we would get through. The closest thing to a compliment that I would get from Tony was, you know, you weren't too bad.
you didn't derail the show. That's good.
Don't mess up was the lead in, and you know what, you weren't too terrible.
Always the best compliment, though.
thank you for hitting me across the face with the backhanded compliment there, Tony. And then he would tag it with Roll Tide. So that was the part that I always wondered about. Anyway, I digress. You guys are last night, Tuesday night, so Tider Insider TV's on the air.
Yeah.
You're trying to do a show, and then Gary's telling me, hey, what are they saying? What are they saying? So, and I didn't get to see it. I wasn't home.
Yeah.
When you have to share the news with Gary Harris and Rodney Orr that Alabama's sixth, how did that go over?
You know, it was funny because the way I set up the show, I was anticipating ESPN to do what ESPN normally does and drag this thing out. You know, and it's like a cliffhanger. You know, you kind of keep the audience all the way to 7 o'clock. So, in my tiny mind, I thought to myself, well. By the second block, which is normally our block where we can discuss stuff and have a little time, we'll discuss the college football playoff and the initial poll and where do we think Alabama's going to be. So the show comes on, and almost instantly, they're in the top 25. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. So, and I'm looking up, and I'm like, okay, well, they're going to totally have this thing announced here in just a second. So sure enough, they had the top four announced right as we were going to the first break, and you're right, it was interesting, an interesting reaction. We didn't have their mics up at the time, but I saw the looks on their faces, and it was pretty priceless. But the best part, though, and I think that we had a guy call in who obviously wanted to talk about that, and he was shockingly the only one who wanted to talk about the rankings, and he used the term, "I'm flummoxed."
Flummoxed.
He said, "I'm flummoxed," and I was like, "Okay, well, there you go, big vocabulary."
There you go. You might want to see somebody about that.
That sounds like a bad condition to have.
Yes, indeed. Do you wear the same gear that they do for Ebola, you know, when they're treating you when you're flummoxed? I don't know.
You got to be quarantined for a little while and not watch ESPN.
No. Look, we've talked about it throughout the course of the show. I know Feinbaum's going to do it. Ryan Fowler's going to talk about it as he mm-hmm. had the chance to do last night as he got first reaction during the game as that came out. But what do you think about the spot, not only for Alabama, but for the SEC as a whole?
I mean, I think it's probably about right. I mean, you know, I know people don't want to hear that, but, you know, it's right now, you know, one of the big criteria that they keep saying is pushing his conference championships. And it's like, well, guess what? After eight games, there's not any conference champions. So
right.
It's hard to tell right now, but I think the majority of the fan base hopefully can understand that, hey, this is obviously this isn't the final deal, and there's still a lot of stuff left to do. And if you really look at the remaining schedules for every team, I mean, with maybe the exception of Auburn, Alabama has the toughest schedule left. And if they can get through that unscathed, I don't think Alabama fans have anything to worry about.
I'm right there with you, and I have said it doesn't even matter if Ole Miss wins out.
In my opinion,
you know, if Alabama now what. What would have you potentially a little uneasy? Let's say Ole Miss goes and then loses to.
They could lose to Auburn. I mean,
a two-loss Georgia team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then,
Because I mean, theoretically, Georgia could win out their SEC games, lose to Georgia Tech, and be a two-loss team.
Right.
Going into the championship game, that would be the worst-case deal. Everything else, I feel pretty good going into that selection day.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably the right mindset to have. That's the thing I heard people talking about yesterday. That same scenario, Georgia, who could possibly win an SEC championship, have two losses and get left out, and that's kind of unimaginable. But I think yesterday what we did learn was kind of how they're going to kind of do things. It's almost like they were purposeful in showing that they don't care about having two teams from the same conference, and in this case, three teams from the same division. So I think that kind of maybe puts some people a little more at ease about, you know, wondering if they could possibly get two from the SEC in. And I think yesterday, yesterday's poll shows is that they don't really, at this point anyway, care about that. And like I was telling people last night, I was like, you know, look, this is you had three of those teams, they're all going to end up playing each other, so it's like there's no reason to get worked up about it right now.
We are talking to BJ Milliken, assistant sports director, WVUA television. He and all of our guests appear courtesy of the Shock Top Hotline presented by Green Beverage. I referenced earlier a tweet that I saw from the college football playoff, where a Georgia fan got the trifecta in 140 characters in response. Okay, they got a chance to blast the college football playoff ratings. They blasted the NCAA and even took a shot at the Zach Brown Band, who had been named by the college football playoff as the tailgate concert. Okay,
oh, wow.
for the championship game itself. So they're just livid there in Athens. Yeah. But even they. Yeah. Are really and truly in a good spot if they keep winning, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. And they just got the best news of all. You've got, you know, the best player possibly in the country, and Todd Gurley is going to be coming back for the Auburn game. I mean, you know, obviously since he's been out, they haven't really hurt him much. Nick Chubb has stepped in and played really well. And, you know, at this point, you know, it's funny when a player like him goes out and then the team still plays well, and people wonder, well, if he comes back, is it going to hurt the chemistry? Should we even let him play?
Yeah.
But no, I think Georgia. Yeah, you're right. Georgia. That's funny. They're quietly sitting exactly where they want to be. You know, to where they have everything where they want it. You know, the East is so. I don't want to say it's bad, but I mean it's been bad. You know, it's been South Carolina hasn't been what anyone thought they were going to be. Tennessee has been kind of, you know, hit or miss, and then, you know, and Florida has been, you know, Florida this year. And then, obviously, you know, Vanderbilt, Kentucky's kind of, you know, they've been up and down. So it's a wide-open race, and Georgia's obviously taken the taken that and kind of run with it. And they're in a spot now, especially getting Gurley back in a couple of weeks, where they have a pretty clear path to at least to Atlanta.
Talking to B.J. Milliken, Assistant Sports Director, WVUA Television, right here in Tuscaloosa. Okay, virtually everybody that we've talked about, mm-hmm. or over the course of this show, not just my conversation with you, I've said they're fine with the big words after the comma, if they went out.
Right.
So as you have seen these teams, I won't put you on the spot with Alabama and get stuff thrown at you either literally or through the internet.
Either way.
Yeah. Which ones besides Alabama do you think are going to win out?
Oh, man. You know, if Florida State gets through Louisville Thursday night, it's hard to see them losing. I don't see anyone really being able to slow them down just because they're in a conference that's, you know, let's face it, the ACC is not the SEC. And, you know, I think they'll win out. They'll be fine. Oregon is another team that I think could possibly win out. But other than that, I mean, you look, maybe TCU. I haven't really looked at TCU's schedule, but, you know, the way they looked the other day against Texas Tech, I mean, they're going to, Gary Patterson, after they lost that one game, they're going to try to score, you know, half a hundred on everybody. And, sure. Maybe they'll get to 100. Who knows? But, you know, I think those are three teams that I personally kind of have watched more than any, and I think that, you know, Florida State, like I said, is just, you know, they've got things kind of set up for them. And I think that's probably, and you know, someone asked me the other day, and this is hopefully not going to get me stuff thrown at me, like you said, you know, but about Alabama and knowing what are the chances that they run the table the rest of the way. And, I mean, you look at a schedule, just not even attaching names to it and just having like a blind schedule, and you look at the remaining schedule and you say, now, would this team get through this unscathed? Right. And you would say, absolutely not. They've got the number one and the number three teams. Now, granted, they're at home where Alabama's played really well. And then they've got to go on the road to LSU, who's, you know, obviously playing really well right now. So, and one of the things at the college football playoff that Jeff Long said, you know, one of the big factors in putting Ole Miss in the top four was the fact that they lost a close game in one of the toughest places in the country to play. So how big a game is that going to be in 2 weeks when Alabama goes there? How much, you know, weight will be added to their resume if they can get that win?
What do you got coming up on WVUA the next couple of days?
Got a lot of good stuff. Football Friday night with Gary, Jim, and everybody. They'll have a full slate of games. It's so funny being, and I said this last week, being out of the daily grind, I guess. I can't remember if the playoffs start next week or this week.
Yeah,
in high school.
It is actually not this week. It is the next. I know that.
So this is the last. This is the final week.
Yeah, I know that because I got a game Friday night and I got nothing in the playoffs, so I'm good.
There you go.
I'll wrap up this week with it.
This is the swan song. Yeah. But Saturday, since there is no bye week, we are fortunate in that we also get to take a bye week from Crimson Tide kickoff.
Good for you.
I know, we get a little bye, but we will have Sports Saturday, me and Jen Chapman, on Saturday night at 10:13, so good times coming. I'm sure we'll have a lot on the Auburn Ole Miss game and you know, all the other SEC and national games we'll get to. And I think that's pretty much it. But I did want to mention, with the whole top four things, we did a, you know, since it is the wrestling theme today.
Yes.
I did a, you know, we were doing, just having fun on Twitter, doing top four, you know, this or that. So my top four, I did a top four of finishing moves, wrestling finishing moves.
Oh, wow. So, what have we got?
So we have at number, should I go 4-1?
4-1. 4-1.
Let's go 4-1. I think my fourth was the, I'm trying to do it off of memory. I think it was the Rock Bottom.
Okay.
Rock Bottom was pretty solid. Number three, I liked the Cobra Clutch.
Yes, indeed.
that was a good one.
The Cobra Clutch was a great one.
That was a good one. Number two was Sweet Chin Music, because, you know, I had to have.
Yeah, well, you got Shawn Michaels, you got to go that route.
And then if he can quickly cue up the Stone Cold music, the last one was, the number one was the Stunner, the Stone Cold Stunner. That was always the best. You know, I was really partial to the ones that just happened out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That can really happen at any point. You know, like stuff like, you know, The Rock had the Rock Bottom, but he also had the People's Elbow, which maybe was the most ridiculous finishing move in the world.
It was, but he pulled it off.
He did.
Because
you know,
he's The Rock, for crying out loud.
Charisma counts for something. Here we go. There's the Stone Cold music.
There it is. Here's what I want to know is exactly how many beers did they have to have ringside?
You know, that's funny because I was at a show, and this will tell you something about me. I used to be really, really into wrestling. Me and my wife went down to Mobile to see a show.
That's a good woman. That's a great
really
woman.
And this was obviously before kids, so we could do stuff like that. But Stone Cold was there, and they had a cooler that they had out there, and they had one on each corner. They had one on one corner and one on the other, and a guy throwing them. It was the funniest thing ever because, like, you know, he would drop one, and he would just keep, you know, saying, "Give them to me," and it was hilarious. But yeah, that's my favorite kind of finishing move, the one that just strikes out of nowhere and where, you know, JR can just lose his mind, and that's the great stuff.
That's how you quickly earned a spot in the regular rotation on this show. Very quick.
Yeah.
That kind of vision, that kind of thinking, forethought, and also great respect for history. That gets you a regular spot whether you want it or not, partner.
There you go. And I also did some, we'll do Bill Murray movies next week. That's for another time.
Oh, perfect. Excellent. That is something even more to look forward to.